He can communicate with us. So the Rambam lists off these two separate Ikorei HaEmunah. One is that we believe in Nevuah, and secondly, that Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is on a much higher level than that of the other Nevi'im. What is the marker for that? So that's in Parshas Bahaloscha, when Miriam was punished. She made a comment. She didn't really mean anything evil by it. She was wondering why Moshe Rabbeinu was Pirish Min Ha'isha. She was a Nevi'ah and Aharon was a Navi, and they weren't Pirish from their spouses. So who does my brother think that he is? Does he think he's somebody special? Why did he have to be Pirish Min Ha'isha? He can be a Navi and remain with your spouse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears and he punishes Miriam for mentioning Lashon Hara against her brother, even though it was B'shegek. She meant L'tayvasai. She wanted to give Musa to her brother. She meant L'tayvasai. She didn't mean Lira. She didn't mean to denigrate him. She wanted to straighten him out. And HaKadosh Baruch appears and he says, no, that there's such a thing as Nevuah. And Dokein Abdi Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level of Nevuah. What's the significance of this higher level? So the Pasuk has a difficult expression. The Pasuk says, Usmunas Hashem Yabit, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi who saw the image of Hashem. This is very difficult because we, one of the other Ikorei HaEmunah is that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body. Ein lo gufa tmuna. So what do you mean Tmunas Hashem Yabit? The simple reading of the Pasuk is misleading. It sounds as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu really has a body and he hides in his inner sanctum. He doesn't let anybody see what he looks like, but Moshe Rabbeinu he liked, so he allowed him to come in and to see what he looked like. How do you read Pshat and the Pasuk? So the Pashto says that it means a different thing. Rav Soloveitchik delivered a knockout hesped when his uncle Rav Elvela Soloveitchik passed away. He delivered a big hesped when his father passed away in 1941. Gimel Shvat, he used to give a Yahrzeit drasha for many years on Gimel Shvat, that was his father's Yahrzeit, till he was already so old and so weak that he wasn't able to speak in public anymore. So much of the hesped that he delivered for his uncle is a repeat of what he said for his father. The hesped that he delivered for his father is called Isha Halacha. His father, it's not a description of Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's a description of his father. He wasn't the same as his father. He was brought up with Hasidus, with other things blended in. But his father was straight Isha Halacha. No Hasidus, nothing else blended in. And much of the unique features of his father's style of learning are repeated in the hesped that he has for his uncle. That essay is called Madodech Midot. So in that hesped, he speaks about the uniqueness of his uncle and his father, that there were many Talmid HaChamim. The Gemara has a comment on the Pasuk, Torah Tzivalon Moshe Marosha Kehilas Yaakov. So the simple pshat and Marosha means that it's a Yerusha for the whole Jewish people, that the Talmid HaChamim are not allowed to hoard the Torah for themselves. They have to share it with the Hamoin. And the Sifrei on that Pasuk, on Torah Tzivalon Moshe, quotes that once a farmer came to the Beis Medrash of one of the Tanoim and he complained that the Tana is a Gazlan. He's going to sue him in a Din Torah. He stole my Yerusha. So he said, what are you talking about? I don't know who you are. So he said, you're hoarding the Torah for yourself. The Torah is a Yerusha for all of Klal Yisrael. Marosha Kehilas Yankiv, and you don't share the Torah with everybody else. All right. So the Pshutu Shal Mikra, Marosha, means a Yerusha. It's the Torah is the Yerusha of all of Klal Yisrael. Then the Gemara has an additional level of understanding of the word Marosha, Atikri Marosha Ela Mi'urasa, that every Jewish person is married to the Torah. So the Gemara says, what's the significance of saying that? This additional level of interpretation, that a Ben Noach is not permitted to learn Torah. If a Ben Noach learns Torah, it's like a Boal Eishes Ish. The Torah is married to the Jewish people. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that there's a difference between the two stages in the marriage. There's Erisin and there's Nisuin. In the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Gemara, till the days of the Gaonim, there was a long pause of several months in between the Erisin and the Nisuin. And they would say Birchas Erisin, possibly over a cup of wine, It's a question of when was that instituted? Alayayin, that could be that was instituted in the days of the Gaonim. And then, months later, they would say another Bar Piragofen and recite the Birchas Nisun over a cup of wine. Then in the days of the Gaonim, they saw that it's not a healthy thing, that the girl should be an Eishes Ish, and Arusa is an Eishes Ish. She's not living with the husband, and she may sin, she may be Mizanovitz Amunal, so it's not a smart idea. So they moved up the Nisun immediately following the Erisin. So that would became a big question. So what is another Bar Piragofen? It just said Bar Piragofen less than 3 minutes ago. What is another Bar Piragofen? There was no Hesach Hadas. So the Hagos Maimini on the bottom of the page and the Rambam quotes that the Rabbi Natam introduced the Hapsoke in between the Erisin and the Nisuin, introduced that you read the Ksuba. You should read the Ksuba slowly. I remember Ablazer Silver was a prominent rabbi in America years ago, and he used to give a very dramatic reading of the Ksuba. He would read it slowly, and if someone would talk in the middle, he would stop and he would start all over again. You had to pay attention when he read the Ksuba. Because the idea of reading the Ksuba is to have a hafsaka. So you have some people think that you just get rid of it, you read it quickly. So they mumble under their breath. It's supposed to be to have a hafsaka. We just attended a wedding on Sunday. Under the chuppah, the Kala's father held a drasha after the Kriya Saksuba. The more hapsaka you can have, the better it is. I remember my oldest daughter married a boy who was in my class, a student in the yeshiva, who came from Switzerland. So there were very few people from the chassan's side at the wedding. So the chassan's parents were here, and one aunt was here, and the grandparents were here. So the grandfather wanted to, less than 10 people came from Switzerland. The grandfather wanted to say who his yichus is. He spoke under the chuppah around 45 minutes to make a hesach hadas, to make a hafsaka in between the first bar piagofen and the second bar piagofen. He couldn't speak in English. He didn't know how to speak English, and he didn't know how to speak Yiddish. And he spoke Swiss German, so the Americans wouldn't understand, so he had to speak Ivrit. He thought that the people would understand. Very few people understood what he said. Anyway, so he was saying the family yichus that he learned in Frankfurt and whatever, and his father was a Chassidische Rebbe from Chassidim and from Yekes, all mixed in together, all blended in together. He was saying the whole yichus. So really, Eris and Nisuin are two different parts of marriage. Erisin, the girl is an Eishes Ish, a lot of Beis HaBal, and Nisuin, the girl is an Eishes Ish, but Beis HaBal. Nisuin is Hachnosa L'Rushusa. Erisin, you accomplish by making a Kinyan, Lisha Niknis, Kesef Shtar Abiyah is a Maisa Kinyan. But Nisuin is not accomplished by making a Kinyan, you just do Hachnosa L'Rushusa. Exactly how do you do Hachnosa L'Rushusa? How do you do Nisuin? So there are different opinions. So some say the Mordechai in Ksuba says, he quotes from the Balei HaTosfos, the Badekin is considered the Nisuin. Others say that the Chosen Kala stand under a talis. That's what the Chosen did. He was a Sfardi. The Chosen from Ashiya did like that on Sunday. Others say you don't have to have a talis over the heads. You have a talis on top. Others say that the chuppah itself is a Tzuris HaPesach, so it's considered like a separate room. So it's considered like Hachnosa L'Rushuso. As if the Chosen Kala went into this special room for the purpose of Nisuin. Others say the Rambam's opinion is that the Yichud that you have later constitutes the Nisuin. So the Magen Avraham is an Ashkenazi. So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Poskin that we Ashkenazim want to be Choshish for the Rambam's opinion. Now it's a common practice that many Sfardim are not Choshish for the Rambam's opinion. They all follow Chacham Avadya. Chacham Avadya is concerned that the minute the girl becomes a Nesua, so she has to cover her hair. So under the chuppah, she's not covering her hair. So they bedavke don't do, they hold that none of the above are Nesuin, not the badekin, and not the talis, and not the chuppah, and not the room, nothing counts, only the yichud later on. That's not yichud aroy lebi, everybody's standing there in the room. So the only thing is the real yichud. So they don't want to do yichud right after the chuppah. They don't want to be choshish for the Rambam's opinion, because then once the girl is going to become an Nesua, then she has to cover her hair. So that's why they they don't do the nisuin till the chas and kala go home, when they have the yichud at home. So that's a question. How do you recite the birchas nisuin 6 hours over lasiyosim, over the over way in advance? So Chacham Avadia writes some kind of an explanation. I don't know what he says. He says he explained it somewhere else. I have to look in the new edition. He's going to tell you where. In the edition, the old edition that I have, it doesn't say where he explained it. In the new edition, there are footnotes and they tell you where what he's alluding to. So that's questionable, but that's the practice. Rav Soloveitchik said there's a big difference between an arusa and an nesua. The arusa, they're married, but they don't really know each other so well. The nesuin, she's an esa shish beveis habal. Whenever it says beso v'chipa bado biad beso, it says al yom kippur. Kan Gordon says vidui. So the Gemara has a drasha, the first Mishnah in Yuma has a drasha, Beis Zuishta, the Kangorol on Yom Kippur has to be married. And the Gemara explains there in Yuma, it's not sufficient if they're married with Erisin, you have to have Nisuin. That's the Bavli holds like that. It's a question whether the Yerushalmi disagrees. Taisus there in Yuma assumes the Yerushalmi does not disagree, or the Rishonim assume the Yerushalmi disagrees, but the Bavli is Beferish, that you have to have Nisuin. Whenever you say Beis Zuishta, it only applies to a nesua. That's why Rashi writes in Kiddushin also on Daf Yud. How do you know that a girl who's married to a kohen is permitted to eat truma, even though she herself is not a kohenis? Because there's a pasuk in Chumash VeYikra that says Kol Torah Bebeischa Yechal Kodesh. So Beis Zuishto, that refers to nesua, and the Gemara has a whole discussion. That's a sifro, and that pasuk Kol Torah Bebeischa Yechal Kodesh refers to Eishes kohen. The Gemara quotes other psukim. The Gemara quotes Mekoyin Kikni Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo. So Rashi explains that to explain that the Gemara is quoting psukim to explain why a girl who only has erisin with the Kohen is allowed to eat truma. If she already had nisuin, she's allowed to eat truma. That's based on the pasuk called Tor Beveischa. Beis Zuishta refers to nesua. And the Gemara quotes Amaroyim, who quoted the other pasuk, Mekoyin Kikni Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo. That's to explain why even an arusa, who's not a kohenis, is permitted to eat truma. The Rav Soloveitchik explained that after being married for many years, the husband and the wife know each other so well that they already know the spouse's reaction to anything that'll come up, even before they discuss it. They know each other well. So he said there's a difference between everybody's knowledge of learning and outstanding talmid chachamim. Everybody else has erisin with the Torah. Okay, they dated the girl and they got married. So there's erisin. So they know what it says in the Torah. But big Talmid Chachamim is not only erisin, they have nisuin with the Torah. And they can tell intuitively if a shayla comes up. So big Talmid Chachamim will be able to tell you by the intuition what they think the din ought to be. So just like there are two, Rav Soloveitchik said, just like there are two levels of Talmid Chachamim, there are Talmid Chachamim who have erisin with the Torah, then there are unique Talmid Chachamim G'dolim who have nisuin with the Torah. So too there are two levels of Nevi'im. Lo kein Abdi Meisha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Baloischa tells Miriam that the other Nevi'im have such a thing as Nevuah, but it's not Aspekloria HaMeira. Moshe Rabbeinu has a much higher level of Nevuah that's called Aspekloria HaMeira. What exactly does this mean? So I saw one of the rabbis in Yeshiva, Rabbi Shulman, just put out another sefer. He puts out a svarim every couple of years. He's a very good rabbi. He writes down all the shiurim, word for word, what he says, and he puts them all online. So the students will be able to chazer based on his notes, not based on their own notes. That's quite a devotion to his job, that he writes over all the shiurim. And he writes them in advance, and then after he delivers the shiur, then he corrects, then he changes some of the things based on what they worked out in the middle of the class. That's quite a dedication to giving a shiur. So he just gave me a copy at the wedding. He saw me at this wedding. It was his niece who married the boy from our shiur. So he gave me a copy of his new sefer. He has a whole section about Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. So he has a very different approach because he didn't learn in our yeshiva. He has a very different approach to everything. But he quotes the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. something that Rav Soloveitchik said. I don't know, Rav Soloveitchik never said it in the name of Rav Chaim. He said it on his own. He said the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with a strong kasha. There's a short list of people who are chayv misa b'dei shamayim. Ve'elu shebemisa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Dalet, quotes such a tosefta. We have Elohein Hanisrafim, Ve'elohein Haniskola, Ve'elohein Hanaharogin, Ve'elohein Hanechnokin, Ve'elohein Hagolin, the second perek and Makkos, Ve'elohein Halokin, the third perek and Makkos. And then you have the beginning of Masechas Krisis, that Lama Vav Krisis, Lamuras Batura, and the first Mishnah lists off all the 36 Averas for which the punishment is Kuris. And then you have a Tosefta that adds on the Elu Shebemisa. The following people are punished with Misa B'dei Shemayim. So it's a short list, it's less than 10 people. One of the 10 people is Over Al Divrei Novi, one who violates what the Novi tells him. So the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with Akasha. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi. So anything that Moshe Rabbeinu said, if a person violates it, a person oversleeps in the morning and he misses Man Kriya Shema, he should be Oiv Al Divrei Novi, he should be Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. Anybody who talks Lashon Hara should be Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. Whoever misses Kriya Shema once, whoever does any slight Avera, any slight thing should be Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. So why is it such a short list? Eilu Shebemisa, all the Taryag Mitzvahs were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi. So this is the Minchas Chinuch kasha. So he gives different suggestions, and the Ragachover gives a suggestion. Rabbi Shulman quotes, the Ragachover suggests that the din of Oiv Al Divrei Novi Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim is only if he heard directly from the Novi. So he thinks that the Dor HaMidbar, who heard directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, would taka b'chai Misa B'dei Shemayim on any Avera that they would violate on Lashon Hara, on missing Zman Kriya Shema. The Dor HaMidbar would be b'chai Misa B'dei Shemayim on everything. But the Doris Abayim said, then it's a shorter list because we didn't hear directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Ragachover suggestion. So Rav Soloveitchik developed a different answer, which is now the accepted, and all the yeshivas, everybody accepts that answer. That's what Rabbi Shulman says, and the yeshivas didn't say the name Rav Chaim. I never heard it. I don't know. I just know Rav Soloveitchik developed this idea many years ago. And that's what he repeated in his hesped for Rav Elvila Soloveitchik. He said that Oiv Al Divrei Novi is only if what the Novi said is Hayru Ashor. That's the definition of Divrei Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu gave Hayru Ashor that you shouldn't leave over Mon, and you should knock on the next door neighbor's doors right before Yitzias Mitzrayim and ask for Matonis, Bizas Mitzrayim, and so on. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said, B'toras Nevua, B'toras Hayru Ashor, would be Oiv Al Divrei Novi. There are differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doiras. Pesach Mitzrayim, they had to eat Masechem Chagurim Nalechem Veraglechem Akelchem Yetchem Achaltem Osa B'chipozen. All of these don't apply to Doiras. Al Yetzi Yish Min Pesach Pesach Boiker, it doesn't apply to Doiras. The Mishnah in Psochim and the Tosefta in Psochim give you a list of all of the dinim that are written in Parshas Boi in connection with Pesach Mitzrayim. Which of those dinim apply to Doiras? Which of the dinim were only Hayru Ashor? So whatever was only Hayru Ashor, that's called Oiv Al Divrei Novi. But whenever Moshe Rabbeinu said a din that's binding L'Doiras, that's not called true. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi, but that's a higher level of Nevuah. That's a Heftz of Torah. So then you have rules and regulations of Torah mitzvahs. By definition, the Tanoim say that the term mitzvah or tzivui is a technical term that only applies in a din that's noig l'doiras. Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, quotes from the Sifro, from the Tanoim, "Ein loshen tzav el loshen zirus miyadu l'doiras." Whenever it says "Kasher tziv Hashem es Moshe," so the word tziva has a technical connotation. It means that this din is noig l'doiras. That's what it's famous from Rav Elvila Soloveitchik. How come in Parshas Tetzaveh the word Tetzaveh appears, in Parshas Truma it doesn't say Tzivoy? And in Vayakal Pikudei, Vayakal is a repeat of Truma, and Pikudei is a repeat of Tetzaveh. And Vayakal it says that they did what Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed in Parshas Truma, and Pikudei it says that they did what Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed in Parshas Tetzaveh. So in Parshas Pikudei, it says 18 times Kashatzi Hashem es Moshe. In Parshas Vayakal, it never says, it doesn't even say once, Kashet Tziva Hashem is Moshe. How come it only says in Parshas Tetzaveh, and in Parshas Pikudei, how come in Parshas Truma, and in Parshas Vayakal, that verb doesn't appear? So Rav Elisa Soloveitchik explains that in Parshas Tetzaveh, and in Parshas Pikudei, you have described the Big Day Kuhuna. So the Big Day Kuhuna is a Din L'Doros, has to be exactly the same. And the Bais Rishon and the Bais Sheni and Mishkan Shiloh, the Big Day Kuhuna were always the same. The Bais HaShlishi, Lazalov is going to be the same. In Parshas Truma, you have this a description of the Mishkan. The Chotzer had to be 100 Amos by 50 Amos. That's a Hiru Ashur. The Doris, it wasn't like that. You needed Karsha and Mishkan. You needed Urias. You need Urias Izim on top. You needed Oris Choshem on top of that. All of this is a Hiru Ashur. All of this is Hiru Ashur. So whatever is Hiru Ashur, you can't use the verb Tziva. You can't use the expression Tziva. The technical meaning, the technical connotation of Tziva is a din that's noig miyad ala duris. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said, that was a Hiru Ashur. If the people would violate it, they would taka bi oivel diri novi. They would be chai misa b'dei shamayim. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said, that was a din la duris. That's not subject to this din. That's not called oivel diri novi. That's oivel diri teira, oivel ala mitzvahs. So mitzvahs, they have rules and regulations. When is there misa b'dei shamayim? When is there not misa b'dei shamayim? Rashi in his commentary on Chumash in the beginning of Parshas Matos quotes from the Sifra that Moshe Rabbeinu introduces the dinim of Parshas Matos, introduces the dinim of Nedorim and Shavuos. So he says, Zeh ha-davar asher tziva Hashem. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Moshe Rabbeinu shares in common with the other Nevi'im the fact that he sometimes introduces a prophecy by saying, Koy amar Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu was unique that he's the only one who says Zeh Hadavar Asher Tziva Hashem. What's the difference between Zeh Hadavar and Koy Amar Hashem? So the Rab Levi Yitzchak Baditshever has in his Sefer Kedushas Levi on Chumash, he says this is the difference. He says Zeh Hadavar Asher Tziva Hashem, when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a din l'doros, that he was giving a nevuah word for word and letter for letter. When Moshe Rabbeinu is saying O Hayru Ashur, he wasn't given direct dictation, word for word, letter for letter. He saw a chazon and a chalom and a mare, the same as the other Nevi'im. And then he said in his own words, with the Ruach HaKodesh Sheralov, like the other Nevi'im, he would say the interpretation of what the chazon is, what the chalom indicated. So that's what it means, that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was Baspekloria HaMe'ira, and that of the other Nevi'im is not Aspekloria HaMe'ira. Aspekloria HaMe'ira means direct dictation, word for word, letter for letter. Zeh HaDavar. Masheni came the other Nevi'im, and Moshe Rabbeinu, when he got a Hiru Ashur, was also. It was the same as the other Nevi'im. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had Aspekloria HaMe'ira, that was only when he was given the dinim that annoyed L'doiris. When he was given a Hiru Ashur, he also had the same level of Nevuah as the other Nevi'im. That he saw a Chalom and a Chazon and a Mare, and he interpreted using his own language. So this Alpi Pashtus is the meaning of the phrase in Parshas Baloisa, Usmunas Hashem Yabit, the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu was, he saw the image of Hashem. What does it mean, the image of Hashem? So another one, Rav Soloveitchik explained in that Hesped that he delivered when his uncle passed away. So he explained that another one of the Ikori Hamuna the Rambam has is, Azos HaTor Lo Sehi Mukhlefes. We believe the laws of the Torah never change. The Muslims claim that originally there were so many mitzvahs, and then Muhammad came along and he was a prophet. He said, we don't have to keep all the rest of the mitzvahs. It's enough if you keep a handful of mitzvahs. And the Christians claim that the Osa Ho'ish was a prophet, and he came along and his prophecy superseded the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. We no longer have to observe all the 613 mitzvahs. It's sufficient if you observe whatever. The Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach that applies to all the Yom HaSoil. So the Rambam lists off as an Iker and Amunah, we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is binding throughout all the future generations.
What about this in Megillah, it discusses maybe some of the Yom Tovim won't apply, in the future after Bias HaMashiach and or in Olam Haba or something along those lines, that only Purim will remain as opposed to the Yom Tovim?
Yeah, the Rishalmi says like that. All the Yom Tovim will be Yotel except for Purim. So the Rishalmi say it refers to the Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainus. During the period of the Baishen, they added on additional Yom Tovim, about 25-35 additional Yom Tovim. Every other week there was another Yom Tov. So the Gemara Taka says after the destruction of the second day Samigdosh, there was a big dispute whether we should still observe those Yamim Tovim or not. That's in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches, whether Batla Megillas Tainus or Loi Batla Megillas Tainus. So the Psak and the Maskana of the Gemara is that Megillas Tainus was Batla, all the Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainus only relate to the Tkufa of the second Bayesheni. It doesn't apply after the Churban HaBayis, with the exception of Chanukah and Purim. The Gemara gives a whole explanation why these two were different. So that's what the Rishonim say, that Yerushalmi is referring to the Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainus. So the Rambam Pashalates this klal that the laws of the Torah will never change. And it's based on Psukim and Chumash. This is the main difference, really, between the Orthodox and the other groups. Some of the others don't really believe in God, and they still consider themselves religious. It's a religion without a God. That's a major difference also, but the main difference between the Orthodox and the others is not so much about believing in God. Most of them do believe in God, but they believe that the laws of the Torah can change. They think like the Christians and the Muslims, that the laws of the Torah can change over the years, and the Orthodox have an obstinate insistence that the laws of the Torah never change. Why taka such an obstinate insistence? Or Rav Soloveitchik, in many of his talks, he explained that in his published essays, he quotes this in several of the essays, that people made the whole machlokes between the Balatanya and the Vilna Gaon. So he says there's very little difference, if any, between the two of them, that they really said the same thing, and they use different language, sometimes different terminology, but they really said the same thing. And this point they say exactly the same. Why do we have such an obstinate insistence that the laws of the Torah never change? So they both say, the Balatani with Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who is a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, both say the same thing, that the Torah, the mitzvahs that are binding throughout all the future generations, if you put all the mitzvahs together, it's a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We really can't understand Elokus. And even if the Ribbono Shel Olam will give us a mashal, we wouldn't be able to understand it through a mashal. So the Torah was given to us as a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. Rashi in his commentary on Parshas Mishpatim quotes from the Medrash, commenting on the Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, Kasheyoma ha-mashal ha-kadmoni me-rishoyim yetzei resha. So what's the mashal ha-kadmoni is the Torah. The Torah is a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only a mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chavetz Chaim writes like a photograph. If I'd never seen the emperor, I never saw the king of a certain country, I saw his photograph in the newspaper, so I'd be able to identify him if I'd walk on the streets, because I know what he looks like by the photograph. So the Torah is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu derech mashal. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains, if the Ribbono Shel Olam would really tell us what Elokus is, we wouldn't understand. That's an expression that comes from the Sefer HaKuzari. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi has that, and other philosophers from the Middle Ages also have the same line, Ili Yedaitiv Hayisiv. If I would understand what Elokus is, I would have to be the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. We really can't understand what Elokus is. So even derech mashal, we wouldn't understand anything. So the Torah is a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of what Elokus is all about. So we call it a mashal hakadmoni. But we believe ani Hashem lo shanisei, that the essence of God doesn't change. Everything in the world keeps on changing. That's what we believe. Modern physics says like that. Everything in the world is moving back to tohu vavohu, however they present it. But that's what we assume also. Everything in the world keeps on changing, except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not part of the Bria. He's the one who created the whole world. He doesn't change. Ani Hashem lo shanisei v'atem b'nei ankev lo chilisim. So because the Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu derech mashal, So the laws of the Torah cannot change by definition, because the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change. So that's why we insist that the laws of the Torah never change. So that's why we understand the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu was Esmunas Hashem Yabit. The other Nevi'im were never given Dinim L'doros. Even the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Maseches Chulin and Perek Gidon Osher that the fact that we today still continue to observe the mitzvah of Milah is not because it was given to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a Navi. He was only given Hayro Ashur. And the fact that we today still continue to observe the mitzvah of Gidon Osher is not because it was given to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was a Navi and he was only given Hayro Ashur. We today still continue to observe Bris Milah in Gidon Osher because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only prophet who was given this higher level of Nevuah that we call Torah, Torah Mitzvahs. Torah Mitzvahs are binding L'Doros. So that's what it means. Usmunas Hashem Yabit. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only prophet who was given this whole description of Elokus with a whole system of Taryag Mitzvahs that are binding L'Doros, that are the Moshel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Moshel HaKadmoni. There is a Yamshel Shloimeh later on in Baba Kama. The Gemara says that the Malchus HaRishah, the Roman government, sent two representatives to the Tanoim to teach them Kol HaTorah Kula. And they were fascinated by everything. And the Maharshal explains in the Yamshel Shloimeh, explains it would appear from the Gemara that they came with pointed questions. Not stam, they're going to sit and learn from Brochus to the end of Uktzin. They came with a whole list of questions, like when Napoleon established his Sanhedrin, so he gave them a list of questions. Are the Jews allowed to intermarry with non-Jews? Are they allowed to charge interest if they lend money to a Jew? Are they allowed to charge interest if they lend money to a non-Jew? Are they allowed to cheat in business if they deal with a Jew? Are they allowed to cheat in business if they deal with a non-Jew? He gave a list of pointed questions, a short list. So these two representatives of the Roman government, according to the Marshal and the Yamshel Shloimeh, he thinks that they came with a list of pointed questions. What's a din? Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if a Nochri's life is B'sakana? Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if a Jew's life is B'sakana? And so on. All list of questions. What's a din if a Shor Shal Yisrael Nogach Shor Shal Nochri? What's a din Shor Yisrael Shor Nogach Shor Shal Yisrael? So the Tanoim explained that they didn't make up anything. That's what it says in our Bible. We believe the Torah is Ben HaShemayim, and there are dinim that discriminate against the non-Jews. And some of the dinim, they didn't see how it was proven clearly from the Chumash. It wasn't that crystal clear. So the two representatives told the Tanoim that they were very impressed by the whole Torah. But there are three different dinim. The Gemara only has one din later on, Lamed Ches. But the Medrash has that there were three dinim that they were not happy with. They didn't see how the Tanaim got it from the Pasuk, but they said everything else they were impressed with, and they don't think the Tanaim invented these discriminatory dinim, so they're not going to masa, they're not going to tell the Roman government about these three dinim that they're not happy about. And then the Medrash continues to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't trust them, and he caused them to forget all the issues that they were unhappy with, that they were not so convinced about. When they came back to Rome, they just gave a report that the whole Jewish religion is beautiful, and it's all a tradition from centuries ago, Men HaShamayim, and the rabbis didn't discriminate on their own. So the Maharshal is bothered, and the Yamshel Shloimeh is bothered with the problem. Why did the Tanaim have to tell them the truth? That the din is that you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of an Ochri, only to save the life of Israel. The Torah Shebaal Peh was not written down. So they should have told them a lie. Pimshum, Sakonis, and Foshis, you're not allowed to tell a lie. They should have said a lie. That we don't distinguish between a Jew and a non-Jew, because nefesh of a human being is Doicha Shabbos. So he comes up with a Chiddush that the Mefarshim in Yeridea, Simekuf Nun Zayin, quote, Simekuf Nun Zayin, the second Chelik Yeridea is in the middle of Hilchas Avodah Zarah. So it has the dinim of Yehorek Bal Yavar. When are you not permitted to violate an Avera, even if it means that you may lose your life? So Avodah Zarah is one of the three, one of the Gimel Avera Sachamuras. Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, and Shvichas Damin. So Avodah Zarah, according to the Maharshal, doesn't only include actually worshipping Avodah Zarah. If a rabbi intentionally misrepresents what it says in the Halacha, Sometimes they ask a rabbi, what's the din? So he says, in Shulchan Aruch it says XYZ. And really he doesn't say that. So he made a mistake, b'shoyge. You have a Gemaris where you have people made mistakes. Tanoim and Amorim made mistakes. A mistake is a mistake. But let's say a Talmid Chacham knows what the din is and he misrepresents it on purpose for political reasons. He doesn't want to say the truth because of Pikoch Nefesh or something or some other consideration. So the Mashal thinks from that Gemara that the misrepresent Halacha is equivalent to Avodah Zarah because it is. The Torah is a description of the essence of God. So we say, who is the God that you believe in? This is our God. The Torah is a description of our God. So if you're going to misrepresent what it says in the Dinim, to say that you're describing a different religion, you're describing a different God, because the Torah is a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
How about when they translated the Torah, did they change that?
The Gemara says they didn't give a literal translation on all of the words. There were certain words that they fudged a little bit. They didn't mistranslate, but they gave a general translation. Instead of giving a little translation, sometimes better to give a general translation. Yeah.
So where would apologetics fit into that? When someone is describing, let's say, Hilchos Nida to non-from Jews, so they'll talk about how, you know, what it does for a marriage and all these, the whisper of death, as a lot of the people said, that, like, the potential is lost, etc. If they themselves believe, no, Tumah is Tumah, we don't, you know, you don't have to get into all these philosophical things, can they still do it if a fudge, but they don't mamash believe that that's the ikkar of the dinner?
May not be the ikkar, but it certainly has that effect on us.
But they have to believe it.
To a lot of people it has this effect. You fall in love with your wife again every time she goes to the mikveh. The Gemara mentions that, yeah. Whatever the kavanas are, tamei ha-mitzvah. So tamei ha-mitzvah, different people have different flavors. Different people sense different things when they do mitzvahs. There's nothing wrong with that. Tamei ha-mitzvah, chelek avli min ha-Torah.
In terms of hashkafa also, let's say someone is more, is less into hashkafa pratis, more like a Rambam approach, and he's talking to someone about what Judaism believes, and he talks about Hashkacha Pratis as what Judaism believes, the higher level of Hashkacha Pratis, in order to convince the person or console them in a moment of sadness. Is that so? He's misrepresenting his own version of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but Judaism does have those shitas. Is that okay?
Yeah. Why not? Something that's absolutely incorrect. There are those who understand like that. Not everything is so clear. Yes, so this was the significance of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNaviim in the sense Shazos HaTorah Lo Sehim Uchlefes. Every other Novi got only Hayru Ashor. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Novi who was given Dinim L'Doris, and the reason why the Dinim are binding L'Doris is because it's Tmunas Hashem, because it's a Moshel HaKadmoni, it's a description of Elokus, even to the extent, according to the Yamshel Shlom, according to the Maharshal, that to misrepresent willingly, knowingly, you're going to misrepresent the din in the Torah, that's considered as if you're worshipping Avodah Zarah, you're describing a different Elokus.
If I'm not mistaken, the Gemara sometimes has, I think in Zvachim, this comes up a bit, that Yechezkel, for example, when he's writing down some of his Nevuos, some of his dinim, they're dinim that he got from Moshe, that they never had a source in the Pasuk in the Torah, and now they're writing a Pasuk in the Torah. So would that be considered now that in that status Yechezkel has a din of making a nevuah on actual dinim instead of on a harasha? And then maybe
no, he just he's recording the din that was always accepted. He didn't invent the din in his generation. Other Talmid Chachamim invented dinim. But the Nevi'im can't invent dinim based on Nevu'ah. The Chachamim can invent dinim based on the way they darshan the Psukim with the Yud Gimel Midas. So if the Navi says something by Nevu'ah, he has no right to make up a new din. So that's what the Gemara said. That was Yecheskel HaNavi is writing down a din that was a Mekubal from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't invent a new din. If he would have not been a Navi, he would have had the right to invent a new din. Talmid Chachamim do invent new dinim. But as a Novi, you can't invent a new din. Yes, there's a famous comment at the Tur, the Pirush HaTur al HaTorah has on Parshas Tetzaveh, that after the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu's name appears in every Sedra except for Parshas Tetzaveh, because Parshas Tetzaveh is always the week of Zayin Adar, and that's when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. So we left out his name because he passed away that week. But the Tur has a famous explanation. Why? How come there's one Sedra that doesn't have his name? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, when he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive Bnei Yisrael for sinning with the Chet HaEgel, he said, "V'imayin, if you don't forgive them, Mecheni no misifrach asher kasofta, leave my name out." That's not exactly what it means, but that's how the Torah is interpreted. Mecheni no misifrach, leave my name out from the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did forgive the Bnei Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel, but the Gemara has a klal that kilas chacham afil al tanai miskayemes. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a chacham. He gave himself a klal. He said, "You should leave my name out from the Torah." So Rabbi Shalom left his name out, even though it was al tanai. Imayin mechena no misifcha. If you don't forgive them, so leave my name out. Rabbi Shalom did forgive them, but it's like a kilas chacham al tanai. So that's famous from the Torah. The Torah in the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh has like that. We assume the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear in Tetzaveh is because that's the week of Zayin Adar. Usually, that's the week of Zayin Adar.
It wasn't the waning weeks weren't Kobeya as they doesn't work in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say the whole thing didn't exist first of all necessarily before.
Correct.
That time. Second, okay. Sometimes they finish it every 3 years. Or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So it didn't necessarily line up.
It's the way we have introduced it, yeah. In Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara in Megillah records, in Eretz Yisrael they used to have a 3-year cycle. Every Seder was divided into 3 parts, so it took 3 times as long. They had 3 different Hatoras for every Seder, for the first third, for the second third, for the third third. So they would celebrate Simchas Torah once every 3 years, sometimes on Pesach, sometimes on Shavuot, sometimes on Sukkot. We follow the practice in Bavel, which became the Minig HaPashut, the more widespread practice. The Rambam calls it Minig HaPashut, that you complete the entire Chamishul Chumshei Torah once a year, and Simchas Torah is always at the end of Sukkot. But they still have the piyutim from Eretz Yisrael, from the old minig, that they would sometimes celebrate Simchas Torah on Shavuos, sometimes celebrate Simchas Torah on Pesach. We always celebrate at the end of Sukkot.
That doesn't mean there's not a regular Hashkacha practice in the fact that the halacha was nikva this way. It's not random that the Sabbath is.
Could be.